So, as has been said, we're going to think about what we believe over the next few weeks. Then we're going to have a break for Lent, and then we're going to pick it up again after Easter. So what we believe, but just while we're on that, Easter is coming, and tonight we've got Second Sunday, which is talking about evangelism. So how about we put the two together and think about how we could reach people before Easter or in the run-up to Easter? Okay, we've had Christmas and we did some stuff for Christmas, but what about if we could reach people as we work towards Easter? So if you're interested in that, but you're not quite sure how to start a conversation, I can highly recommend that this evening there will be a session that will help you to be able to share what you believe with the people around you. So what we believe, a few years ago, a certain newspaper that we won't mention the name of had a fantastic headline. And it went something like this: I was kidnapped by aliens and they turned me into fish fingers. Or something like, I can't remember. It was absolutely incredible. It was amazing. And it seems a little bit odd to us, but there are other headlines that have occurred, and we sometimes believe what we read, don't we? Rightly or wrongly. And maybe what we need to do, rather than just kind of read something and think, oh yeah, that's believable because it's in the particular newspaper that is our favourite. And of course, they would never lie to us or mislead us. But maybe what we need to do is to think about it. And that's what we'd like to do over the next number of weeks, is to actually stop and think about what we believe. So as a bit of a help for that, I thought it would be useful to think about the statement of faith that we signed up to around about 12 months ago. As a church, we became a charitably incorporated organization, and we had a special service, and we said, we are going to be members of this church, and this is what we believe. So if we can put the next slide up. Okay, and I thought it'd be good if you are able to see the screen, we could perhaps read this together. So let's read it together as one. So our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, is God, revealed in a human body. Jesus died for our sins, according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Next one. He is the sole and absolute authority in all matters pertaining to faith and practice, as revealed in the Holy Scriptures. Each church has liberty under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to interpret and administer his laws. Christian baptism is the immersion in water into the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit of those who profess repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the duty of every disciple to bear personal witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to take part in the evangelization of the world. Just leave that one up, sorry, thank you. This is a repeat of the advert. This is our duty as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus Christ, that we bear personal witness and take part in evangelism. And David and Rachel are going to help you this evening to be able to do that. So come along and maybe learn something new or be encouraged as you seek to live out your Christian life. If you switched off, thank you very much. There seems to be a kind of movement, I guess, within the Christian church that we want to avoid making people feel uncomfortable. We've got this idea that because God loved the world so much, that actually we shouldn't make people feel guilty. We shouldn't make people feel ashamed. We don't want people to be pressurized into feeling bad about something that they've done. Now, I think it's right that if we have a culture of shaming people, or if we publicly humiliate people and shame them, or if as parents or peers we make people feel bad by the things that we say and do, I agree that that is a bad thing. However, I think that sometimes there is a place for guilt and a place for remorse. The idea that God is love, therefore, that will cover every sin. That will cover every dangerous thing that we do. That will make things okay, I think, is misleading. In fact, I think what we are in danger of doing as society and as church is developing a group of sociopaths. Do you know what a sociopath is? No. A sociopath, according to the dictionary, is somebody who has no conscience. It's somebody who does things that are wrong, but then doesn't feel any remorse. And if we pursue this line of, oh, well, God loves you and it's okay, then what we will end up with is people that have no conscience. People who think that actually, well, it doesn't matter what I do, because when I die, when I go to heaven, God loves me so much that there won't be any consequences. And what I'd like us to do as we start on this journey together about what we believe is to think about what does that actually mean for us. If we are saying that there is a choice between right and wrong, what does that mean? And it sounds ever so simple, doesn't it? Well, you know, we all know what's right and wrong, don't we? Sounds easy. No? Yes? Maybe? Okay. Is it easy for us to know what we should eat? You're not sure? Probably. Okay. We know that if there is a choice of chocolate or fruit, we want to go for the chocolate, but we know we should go for the fruit. Yeah, there's a choice. There's, oh well, fruit is good for me. I should eat more fruit. But I don't want to. I would rather eat the chocolate. We can make a choice. It's simple. It's simple to lose weight, in theory. I said the other week that miraculously the clothes in my wardrobe had shrunk. And I couldn't understand why. And it's easy, isn't it? We can say, well, you want to lose weight, what you need to do is eat less. And it sounds so easy. But actually, it can be very difficult. Brandon, you'll like this one. If we want to improve at badminton, okay, if we want to get better, that's right, that game where you hit something and people think it's a very slow and gentle game. but if we want to get better, it sounds easy. Well, all you need to do is just hit it harder. But actually, it takes time and effort, and what we need to do is to practice more. Similarly, if you are a musician, okay, you might think, well, it's easy. All you need to do is just sit up on the stage or stand there with the guitar in your hand and strum. But it's not that easy. It might look easy to the people who are accomplished at it, but if you ask somebody, okay, well, how do you get better? They will say, you need to practice. So these things that sound easy, that sound simple, actually can sometimes be difficult or can be hard for us to understand. So when we talk about right and wrong, when we talk about good and evil, when we talk about this thing called sin, sometimes it's not as easy as we first might think. In the passage that was read to us, these guys called the Pharisees, they knew the law of Moses intricately. They knew it really, really well. They were experts in the law. And they knew the rules. But here's a rule, an interesting one. Anybody had a cold recently? Yeah? Okay. On Sundays, particularly if you had a cold, because it becomes relevant then, but on Sundays, you are not allowed to carry a handkerchief. Okay? Because carrying a handkerchief is counted as work. Okay? So if when you get up in the morning, and it depends if you use tissues or cloth or whatever, but if in the morning when you wake up and you think, oh, I need to blow my nose. So you blow your nose, that's fine, and whatever. But then you think, oh, I better take my handkerchief downstairs in case I need to blow my nose again. But I can't because it's Sunday. And it just so happens that the only handkerchief that you have is upstairs. So you could go downstairs and then every time you need to blow your nose, you could run upstairs and blow your nose. Or alternatively, according to the law, you can't carry your handkerchief, but you can wear it as an item of clothing. Now, depending on how many times you use it, as to how appealing this might be. But what you could do is you could tie your handkerchief around your neck and then go downstairs. And then during the day, when you needed it, your handkerchief was there, and you could untie it and then you could use your handkerchief. And that is not classed as work. And we're all going, what? Okay, but that is the rule. And we might think it's silly, and I'm sure that you think, well, that sounds incredible. But that's the way it was. And the thing was that the Jewish leaders were so good at the law, and they wanted to keep the rules and regulations. So when this new rabbi comes on the scene, this new leader comes on the scene, who is basically disturbing the status quo. Because what he's doing is he's telling people, you don't need to follow all the rules that you have been doing. In fact, you could say that he was giving the riffraff their own way. Because it was only the proper Jews who kept the rules. If you were an ordinary person, you probably wouldn't be quite so keen on all of these rules and regulations and making sure that you kept them. In fact, for some people, mentioning no names, but if it happened that you were out shopping and somebody got hungry and you needed to buy something for that person to stop them from being grumpy, you couldn't wait until you got home. I'm not looking at anybody. But you'd have to wait until you got home so you could wash your hands before that person could eat the thing that you'd purchased in the marketplace in case one of those dirty Gentiles had touched that food and made it unclean. So that was the rule.
Can I give an example?
You can give an... Hang on, Rachel, let me get the other microphone.
My son lives in Gateshead, next to a big Orthodox Jewish community. And one day this man ran out and said, it was Friday evening, the Sabbath, beginning of the Sabbath, yeah? And he hadn't switched the lights on. So, and he couldn't switch the lights on because it was wrong. Nor could he ask anyone to switch the lights on. That would also be wrong. But he could, somebody else, a non-Jew, could switch the lights on. So he came out to John and he said, he couldn't say, will you switch the lights on? So he said something like, I need the lights switching on, I need the lights switching on. And John, twigged what was going on, went into his house and switched the lights on.
There you go. That is today. That's right. And so these things are rules. And for the Jewish community and for other communities, there are rules and regulations that they have in place. And they need to keep those rules and regulations. And you might think, well, that's ridiculous. And what was the purpose? It wasn't because that's what God had said. Okay, God had said to Moses about washing hands. Okay, but it wasn't for day-to-day things. It was a process that they were to go through before they were giving sacrifices and other things. But it has, over the years, had been used to bring this situation to where it was. And where Jesus found himself. However, just before we go any further, this is not that we are saying that you don't need to wash your hands. Okay, let's just make that clear. We're just saying that that particular thing to us seems a little bit odd. Okay, but for them it was a very real thing and it was a very important thing that now, as Christians, we think, well, we don't need to do that. And I get that. However, let me give you another example. One Sunday, this particular person, and we'll call it person, so it could be male or female, were sat in church and they'd listened to the service and they'd mumbled and grumbled all the way through the service. And then after the service, they couldn't get out of the car park. And they'd had to come back in and ask somebody else to move so that they could get out. And they mumbled and grumbled about that. And then eventually when they got home, their dinner wasn't ready. So they complained about that. And they'd mumbled and grumbled all the way through the morning. And their child or grandchild had been with them all of this time. And hearing what had been going on. And then as they sat down to their meal that was late and they'd complained about this food being late. That person said, oh, let's say grace before we eat. And so they said grace. And then they started tucking in to their meal. And the child says to the adult, why did we say grace? Oh, because we're thanking God for what we have and we're talking to God. And they explained how God hears everything. And the child says, so when you were mumbling and grumbling, was God listening to that as well? And the person was a bit embarrassed now because, well, yes. And God was listening to the grace, the prayer that you said. Well, yes, of course he was. Which part of that did God believe? The child says. And it's true, isn't it, that sometimes we think it's all about, well, what I believe. But what about what God believes about us and what God hears us say? You see, the problem is that the words that Jesus used about the religious leaders by saying, oh, you go on about this hand washing, about how important it is. And he called them a particular thing. What was the word? Hypocrites. Okay, do you know what a hypocrite is? You know, a bit of a history lesson. A hypocrite was an actor. Okay, and they used to have a mask that had, I think it was a happy face and a sad face or something like that. Okay, and they were called hypocrites because I think it was the name of the mask or something like that 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 signified that they were an actor. Okay, so they were called something like Hippocritos or something like that, which means the person who wears a mask. So the word that we use today basically means somebody who wears a mask, somebody who's not actually real about what they're doing or saying. Now, of course, we don't have anybody in church like that. In fact, it's one of the prime reasons, okay, if you talk to people out there and you say, oh, why don't you come to church? Oh, the church is full of hypocrites. What a reputation that we have, that the world out there thinks that that's who we are. Because actually what they're saying is what we say does not match up with the way that we live. Just like that person in the story. What they said and what they prayed did not match up. So the religious leaders, they asked Jesus, well, why don't your followers do what they're supposed to do with washing their hands? And Jesus answers them. He doesn't answer the reason why they don't wash their hands, because he knows that's not what's important. What was important was their attitude. And Jesus is quoting from Isaiah, Isaiah 29:13, where it says about these people who are hypocrites, who are not following the way in the way that it was meant to be. People replace God's commands with their own man-made commands. People justifying what they want to do because they think that's what the Bible means. But again, maybe in our 21st century, we are guilty of that. Maybe we justify some of the things that we do because, well, it's okay. And it's only a white lie. It's only a small sin. It's not as bad as what somebody else has done. But Jesus said it's bad. It's really bad. In fact, he goes on to say, you do that about the washing of hands and other things as well. One of the things that he then talks about is this idea of honouring your parents and how they have manipulated the rules and regulations to suit what they wanted to happen. And maybe we are guilty of doing the same, that we try and justify the way that we act, the way that we complain, the way that we talk about other people, the way that we lie, the way that we are short-tempered, the way that we're offhand, the way that we criticize. Because they're not really sin, that's just us being honest. We keep the Sabbath. We don't carry a handkerchief downstairs. We put it round our neck. We justify what we do. We say that we believe in a God of love. And we don't want to be tied up in all these rules and regulations. And that's true. You know, in Christ we are set free. However, that freedom does not mean that we can live and act just as we would like to. We need to get to grips with what we believe. If we are going to be serious about talking to the people that we meet up with, if we're going to be serious about being disciples who bear witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we need to know and understand what we believe. And it needs to be in our hearts. Because that was the problem that Jesus saw with the Pharisees, with the Jewish leaders, was it was their heart that was wrong. What he's saying to them is, it's not about washing your hands, it's not about these rituals about what you can and can't eat. Just like for us today, it's not about maybe where we go or the people we meet. What's important is our attitude. So we're not that far removed from the people that Jesus was talking to. We might think we are. We might think, well, that was in biblical times, and actually Jesus is talking to these Pharisees and talking to these religious leaders. That doesn't apply to us because we don't have the same rules for washing our hands or for honouring our parents. But read the last few verses of that passage in verses 23 and 24. It says this: what comes from your heart is what makes you unclean. Out of your heart come evil thoughts, vulgar deeds, stealing, murder, unfaithfulness in marriage, greed, meanness, deceit, indecency, envy, insults, pride, and foolishness. All of these come from your heart, and they are what make you unfit to worship God. Maybe what we need to do as we think about right and wrong, we think about sin, is not try and think about, oh, did I do that wrong, or did I do such and such right? Maybe what we need to do as we come to worship is to think about our attitude. Are we like the dad in that story who did all of those things wrong and then prayed? Are we like those religious leaders who followed the rules to the letter and yet missed the point of worship? Do our daily lives reflect the fact that we are followers of God? Are we able to say with confidence that we are a Christian? And nobody will say, oh, Christians, you're all hypocrites. Does God listen to everything that we say and say, well done, good and faithful servant? What a challenge that is to us. Let's pray together. Father God, sometimes it's hard to know right and wrong. It's hard for us to understand why certain things happen or how we should respond. Would you help us in our daily lives that we would understand the meaning of sin, that we would understand the choices that we make about right and wrong? Would you change our hearts? Would you change our attitude? Would you help us to be a reflection of Jesus? We are sorry for the times when the things that have come out of our mouths have been those things described in Mark. The wrong thoughts, the wrong actions, the lies, the envy, the criticism. Lord, forgive us. Would you help us? Would you change us that we might be the people that you have called us to be? Because we know what we have believed. We live out what we believe in our daily lives. Amen.